His love is just as strong, if not stronger, when we sin against the Lord today. Now, it does not mean that we will continue to live in a lifestyle of sin. No, the love of God will constrain us to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto the Lord. But I find out that the more I meditate on His love for me, when I know that I don't deserve His love because my thoughts have not been all it's supposed to be, or my actions or my words have not been all it's supposed to be, I don't know about you, it causes me to love on the Lord even more. When you know that His grace is so super abounding and His love for us is just as strong as, you know, when we are strong. So that just like that song says, you know, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I'm weak, whether I'm strong, my daddy loves me in Christ Jesus. Amen. So beloved of God, I want you to not be ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why do you think Apostle Paul says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel? Because it's not based on your holiness.
Yes.
It's no longer based on your goodness. And Apostle Paul says, you know, I was a Pharisee, Apostle Paul says. You know, when it comes to the righteousness that comes by the law, I'm blameless. You know, I do not dip or cuss or chew or go with those who do. All right? Basically, he's saying. But then Apostle Paul came to this conclusion. But you know what? All that righteousness that comes by the law, I count them but dung.
Yes.
Wow, that's a strong statement.
Yes.
He said, I count them rubbish compared to the righteousness that I have that comes by faith in my Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Beloved of God, I want to let you know, amen? You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. You don't have to be ashamed of your shortcomings. You don't have to be ashamed of maybe some of the old bad habits that seems to creep back up in your life. Maybe you have had a victory the past 2 months from the tendency of just binging on eating comfort food, because sometimes when people eat a lot, not because they're hungry, but because they're worried. Actually, they're trying to find comfort from food. You know, I've seen people like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really hungry, but they keep on munching and munching until they become obese. They become overweight. And then when you find out the root cause is not because the person is hungry, it's because the person is living in a lot of stress, a lot of fear, a lot of worry. And then the person go back to their old habit again after they have this victory, right, over this binging on food, you know, snacking on junk food all the time. And then they go back to that, they binge into that old habit, and they feel bad. They feel, man, I thought I had victory over this life of full of stress and fear and worry. I don't know why I'm going back to that old lifestyle again. You know, and you feel so like, man, I don't know, you know, I don't feel like a victorious Christian. I don't feel like all this, you know, wonderful thing that's portrayed of what a victorious Christian is supposed to be in the book that I read, in a TV program, Christian even, you know, I feel like, you know, I was beaten up. I mean, I don't feel like I have a victorious Christian life because I'm going back to that old ways. I'm going back to some of the old habits that I thought I have victory over. Well, beloved of God, I just want to let you know, where sin increased, grace superabounded. You don't know how strong you are until you know how weak you are, and you realize that your strength is all in the Lord and your righteousness is all in Him. You don't know how strong you are until you are at the bottom and you recognize, like Apostle Paul says, you know what? I count all of my righteousness, all of my winning streaks over that old bad habits that I'm so proud of. Man, it's been a year, Pastor. I no longer have that old bad habits. Man, I want to let you know, we cannot put our confidence, right, in the fruits. We can only put our confidence in the root of that victory,
yes,
who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, beloved of God, I want to let you know, where sin increased in your life, there is a super abounding grace of God for you.
Amen.
You don't have to be ashamed of your habits, of your old bad habits that seem to creep back again. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel, that God still sees you not guilty anymore. How can this be? It cannot be, Lord. Now, you may not say this out loud, right? But your conscience will be like your worst nightmare. Talking about sleeping with your enemy. Sleeping with your conscience, right? Sometimes that will, on the back of your head. How can this be? I should know better, right? Beloved of God, I want to let you know, don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is at that time that God wants to assure you how much He loves you. It's at that time when you feel like you're not worthy to be loved. It is at that time when you feel like you're, Lord, I blew it this time. I really blew it big time. I missed it. I've sinned. I failed against you big time. God says, don't run away from me. Run into my arms of love. Amen. Allow me to give you my super abounding grace. And you don't have to be apologizing about that. You don't have, amen, to be ashamed of the superabounding grace of God. Because it is where sin increased that grace superabounded, the Bible says.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Beloved of God. Hallelujah. So the more you realize,
amen,
right, how good Jesus is, and you continue to grow in your Christian walk, the more sometimes you feel like kicking yourself. Because now, you know, as you grow more and more in the knowledge of God, right? You see the perfection of Jesus. You see the holiness of Jesus. You see the righteousness of Jesus. And you grow in that knowledge, right? As you grow in your Christian walk, sometimes the more like you feel like you're kicking yourself, because you feel like you have fallen short of the glory of God in certain areas of your life. That's not a sign that you are not making progress. The more you grow in the Lord, the more sometimes you feel like kicking yourself, because you see the beauty of Jesus, the perfection of Jesus that you have never seen before a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not the sign of you, you know, backsliding, or, you know, you're not growing, right? It's a sign that you are growing, because you're seeing the holiness of Jesus. And the more you realize that you've fallen short of that perfect standard that you see in the beauty of Christ. But you know what? Like I said, when we come to the conclusion, like Apostle Paul says, you know, I count all of my righteousness as filthy rags. All of my righteousness, they're just filthy rags. They're but dung. I count them but rubbish, because the only righteousness that I have is you, O Lord.
Yes.
You are my righteousness.
Yes.
And I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
And don't allow anyone or anything to make you feel ashamed of the gospel. That you believe that you are still the righteousness of God, even though circumstances in life, people around you, okay, seems to be yelling and preaching, saying, oh really? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, if you are, how come you're still dealing with this problem? Okay, or how come you still have not received the perfect manifestation of your healing? Some righteousness of God you are. Don't allow circumstances in life to condemn you and make you feel ashamed.
Yeah.
It is at that time that you need to be encouraged even more and quote boldly Romans 5:20.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. Where sin increased, grace superabounded in my
Amen.
Life.
Yes.
Can you believe that, beloved of God?
Amen.
Because your growth can be working for you, it can also be working against you. As you grow in the knowledge of Jesus more and more, like I said, you see the perfection of Jesus more and more. And then you realize how you, in and of yourself, in your own performance, in your own law keeping and everything, you have fallen short of that perfect standards. But today, the Holy Spirit is reminding you, right? As you draw closer and closer to God, the more you are to depend on His grace. We cannot go back under law again. We cannot go back under that mentality. Well, the longer I become a Christian, you know, the more pumped up I feel. I always feel like I'm always at the top of the mountain. I always feel like, you know, I have super faith all the time. You know, I never sin again. I never fall short of this thing again. You know, just put those things aside. Recognizing that the more you grow in the Lord, right, the more you are to realize that the only righteousness that really counts is Jesus' righteousness in your life, and not anything that comes by the law. Because the promise cannot come into our lives. The promises of God, whatever promises that God has given you, the promise of blessings in your family, a harmonious marriage, a harmonious relationships, the heaven on earth kind of life, all those promises, they all come by grace. It cannot come by the law. It is impossible for anyone to receive the abundant life by going back under law. Impossible. It's been tried thousands and thousands of years ago, and you see many dead bodies, people that try again and again. They use their own self-efforts. They thought that, well, I'm saved by grace. Now, I've got to keep the law in order for me to continue to be loved by God. It does not work. As you have received Christ, so continue walk ye in Him. How did you receive Jesus? By you keeping the law? No, you received Jesus by grace. And the Bible says the same way that you received Jesus by His love and by His grace, you are to continue to walk your life every day by grace.
Yes.
There is no place for law in our lives. In fact, the Bible says the law is for the sinners. In the book of 1 Timothy, the law is not for the righteous. The law is good if you use it lawfully. That is to tell sinners that you need Jesus. Right?
Yes.
But once you are born again, once you are saved, you cannot, you know, live under law anymore. Right? You no longer need the schoolmaster, the Bible says. You are no longer under that schoolmaster.
Yes.
You're now under the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will always remind you of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. The Spirit's job is never to point you to yourself. Look at you. Look at your behavior. Look at your thoughts. look at you. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to point you to your righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never point you to yourself, no matter how good you are. Amen. The Holy Spirit will never say, look at yourself, how good you are. No, the Holy Spirit will always point you to Jesus,
yes.
How good Jesus is.
Yes.
And you are not ashamed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. So,
yes.
Beloved of God, are you blessed? Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, do not run away from God when you fail. Run to God and receive His superabounding grace even more.
Amen.
How can you lose for winning, right? How can you lose for winning, right? When you sin, His superabounding grace superabounded even more. Isn't that good to know? You can't lose for winning under grace. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, church, that was a good appetizer. That was a good appetizer. I hope you receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit from the moment that we started to sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Did you already feel like the anointing is already there? Amen. The Holy Spirit is beginning to minister. Amen. You may not see people, you know, falling on the floor in this church. You may not see that. Right? You may not see people laughing uncontrollably. You may not see people, okay, running around, you know, throwing away their crutches. I've seen church service where they throw away crutches, and then, you know, those people that walk with problems, they begin to walk, you know, supernaturally healthy. I'm not negating that. I believe in the supernatural power of God. But I also believe in the ways of the Holy Spirit that is quiet and gentle. I'm very sensitive with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, like, for example, when I deal with people, I can see these people. I can almost like see like a meter gauge. Maybe this is a gift that God gave me. It's like a meter gauge. This one anointing is 50%. The other one is 25%. The other one is like, whoa, this is 75% anointing here. Somehow I just can see it. I can gauge the level of anointing in different people. It's a supernatural gift and ability that God has given me. And the thing is that I'm letting you know, many times the workings of the Holy Spirit that seems to be unspectacular, right? You don't see people falling on the floor, laughing and all these things. It is during those moments that I actually see and feel the anointing of God that is in a quiet and gentle way, touching and ministering in people's lives and people's bodies. It is amazing. But many times we don't give credit to the Holy Spirit. We only turn to God sometimes when there is a problem. When there is a problem, we turn to God and say, "Hey Lord, how come there is a problem here?" But we don't realize all the many healings and all kinds of good things that happen just by being in the house of God, and the anointing was flowing and touching you. Man, I'm telling you, you are really blessed.
Amen.
All right? So I just want to commend you. I just want to say, you are the cream of the crop. The devil hates you. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you the truth, all right? The devil hates your guts. The devil hates your tenacity. The devil hates your stubbornness. Many people have given up on Jesus a long time ago because, man, I thought that once I receive Jesus, it's going to be a bed of roses from now on, right? They don't know that, you know, it is actually, you know, with Jesus, there will be trials, there will be challenges, but you will overcome them all.
Yes, amen.
And not because of your goodness, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you receive every morning on Sundays. Amen?
Amen.
So, don't be surprised if you are dealing with some kind of pain, muscle pain, joint pains, right? On Monday morning when you wake up, where did that pain go? Well, it's because I had a good night's sleep. Well, that's good. Good night's sleep can help. But it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit today that was ministering, lubricating your joints, lubricating your marrows. Right? You may not have instantaneous miracles where you can throw away crutches and things, but it does not mean that you're not being loved. The Holy Spirit was loving you, taking care of you, all right? So, amen? In the morning when you wake up and you feel, hey, where's that muscle pain? I don't feel that muscle pain anymore. Where's that joint pain? Where's that pain in my feet? They're gone, right? Give credit to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, I will not miss, right, a time of worshiping the Father, right, in the morning, you know, at the church. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, I give you all the credit, not because, you know, of my self-discipline, right, Although it's good, you know, to exercise, eat right, but give all glory unto the Lord. Because healing comes from Jesus. Amen? Healing comes from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you blessed, church? Let's give a clap offering to the Lord one more time. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. You know, God says that when there are two people gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Whether it's only two people, or you have the whole room full, Jesus said, I am in the midst.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
Well, I don't see Jesus. Where is Jesus? No. I'm talking about with your eyes of faith. You got to activate your eyes of faith. He is in the midst.
Yes.
Right? And He is sitting on a throne, the Bible says. He's sitting on a throne at the right hand of God. And what do you think He's doing? Well, He's scrutinizing you to see who's naughty and nice. He is at the right hand of God, the Bible says, interceding for you. If there's anyone, right, or anything that has the right to condemn you, it's Jesus. He is the judge. He is the King of Kings. Now, if the King of Kings, the judge, is interceding for you,
yeah.
Wow.
Who can be against you? Do you understand Romans 8?
Amen.
Who is he that condemns? Jesus. He's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you. The only one who can judge you is interceding for you.
Yes.
Who can condemn you?
No.
Man, that conscience needs to be checked in, right? That conscience, you know, we have this conscience, right? That always, you know, kind of making sure that, you know, you keep the law, right? The conscience is there to always make sure that you perform well. The conscience is there. The conscience is there. But the conscience needs to be reminded that it has been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Right? Otherwise, it can become evil. And when it becomes evil, it tries to play God. It tries to become bigger than your Jesus, who's praying for you. And on the back of your mind, you begin to receive the condemnation because of that sin that you just did. You see that how the evil conscience work? And God says, remember, your conscience has been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So that today, where sin increased, again, grace super abounded in your life. Because He's sitting right now, watching you with a smile, with a heart that is full of joy, seeing you clean, seeing you righteous by His blood, because your conscience, even your conscience, has been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. You have a proud and happy Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Jesus is proud and happy whenever I live holy and stuff. No, even in the middle of you having moments of weakness, flash. Have you ever had flash thoughts? Man, that's 20 years ago, man. Woo, just being flashed through your mind, right? Jesus cannot be proud of me at that time. Oh yes, He is proud of you. As you keep on looking unto Him, in the middle of that flash, Jesus is there to remind you that my blood has sprinkled your conscience, and there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So no matter how weird your thoughts might be, because of that flash, right? Weird thoughts. Number one, it comes potentially, right, from your own flesh. It's the part of you, right, that God says already condemned. Sin in the flesh had already been condemned, right? But, you know, it still has some memory banks. Still has the old programming. That's why God says, I want you to renew your mind. Because the flesh, right, those memory, the old memory, those old thoughts, can seem to still be alive, even though God already condemned it, right? At the cross, when God condemned sin in the flesh, in the body of Jesus, God already condemned your flesh. So sin has no more dominion over your life. Because you are no longer under law, but you are under grace, right? But the flesh can be seemingly overpowering you. But it's only an illusion. It's only an illusion in your mind. Because this flesh had already been condemned. It has no power to dominate your life anymore. But God says, I want you to renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know what the will of God is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12. Right? So when you have that flesh flashes, immediately remember the blood of Jesus that already sprinkled your conscience. And conscience cannot condemn you. Amen? Because sin in the flesh had already been condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God is so good all the time and all the time. God is so very, very good. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to enjoy Jesus, our redemption. We're going to get back on the highway of Jesus, our redemption. Okay? This past few weeks, we were going for an excursion, I believe. But now we're back into the main highway of Jesus, our redemption. Come on, I want to hear a clap offering to the Lord. I want to hear who's excited. Amen? We're back to, back on track. Amen? Hallelujah. On Jesus, our redemption, which I really believe that's going to be a blessing into your life. You know, I feel like... I really need to fulfill the calling that God has in my life. One of the strongest areas in my ministry is in the area of teaching. Teaching sometimes can be pretty intense when I do teachings because I dive in deep into the sometimes the root word of what it's saying and everything. But and I can really lose people really quick, when I'm going into some of the deep territory. So if I go like 60 miles per hour, put on your student hat, okay? Put on your student hat because we're going to be studying the Word of God, not on a surface level, right? How many of you know that some of the deep treasures of the Word of God, requires the fleshlight of the Holy Spirit to discover the hidden revelations and the treasures of God. Who wants strong meat? Raise your hands. Okay, strong meat. Well, I'm vegetarian, Pastor. Well, okay. If you're a vegetarian, I don't know. We got milk. Maybe soy milk or something, right? Whatever. Yeah. Okay, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. On Jesus, our redemption today. How about if we start with a simple prayer? This is yet another chapter in our church history, because we're plowing through in understanding what Jesus has already done for us. Father, I just pray, it's not about me sharing the message in a charismatic way, get people excited. It's about people's lives being changed for the better. I don't want this to be some kind of academics teaching and then we have a big head, but we don't have a big heart. I want us to have a big heart for the Lord and just loving the Lord as the result of this teaching. Not just about me getting blessed, but it's about loving Jesus and appreciating what He has done. I want our hearts to be burned with passion for the Lord, that we sleep thinking Jesus. When we hug our pillow, we think that we're hugging Jesus. We have intimate moments with the Lord. We love the Lord. That's what I want. The church that really loves the Lord sincerely from the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, are you ready? Okay. I'm going to start with this slide. Galatians 3:13, verse 14. How about we read it together? Like it? 1, 2, 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, remember, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now we're going to find out specifically one of the curses that we have been redeemed from. Cool? Next. Deuteronomy 28:35. This is from Brenton Septuagint. I told you it's a deep teaching you don't hear. Let's turn to NIV Bible. King James, how about Brenton Septuagint? You've never heard of that, right? The Lord, this is Deuteronomy 28:35. The Lord smite thee with an evil sore on the knees and the legs, so that thou shalt not be able to be healed from the sole of thy foot to the crown of thy head. Serious stuff. By the way, this is the curse of the law. This is not God. This is the law that says, God, you must curse the Israelites every time they break the law. And this is what you must do. It's like the law is dictating to your loving Heavenly Father. And He has no choice, because that's the agreement with Israel. You obey the law, you get the blessing. You break the law, you get the curse. So the law says, this is what you must do, God. You shall smite with an evil sore your people on the knees and the legs. See, the law has no mercy. The law has no understanding. It doesn't care how old you are. Okay? The law does not grade people on a curve. If you break the law, just one point, you become guilty of them all, and the law does not care whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you're young, or whether you're old. Lord, you're going to smite them on the knees and the legs so that they shall not be able to be healed. Whoa. This is really cruel. There is no healing here. This kind of curse that will affect a person's knees and a person's legs is something that cannot be healed, and it's from the sole of thy foot to the crown of thy head. A serious, serious matter. I have good news to tell you.
Amen.
Your beloved Savior took that curse at the cross so that the law the law cannot curse you anymore.
Amen.
With this problem that will affect your knees and your legs.
Amen.
In other words, there will, for those who have the revelation, there will be no sicknesses, curses, diseases that can impact your knees and your legs such that there is no cure for it. Because what Jesus has done is the exact reverse of that curse.
Hallelujah.
Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Are you excited, church?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
What Jesus had done is greater, right, than what the law was able to do, because Jesus fulfilled the law.
Amen.
Jesus, who knew no sin, He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. How can a righteous man like Jesus, right, be afflicted with a curse like this? That is unjust. That ought not be so. It's an abomination to condemn the righteous Jesus. But at the cross, He was condemned, but not because of His sin. He was condemned because of our sin. And the curse fell on Him.
Yes.
At the cross.
Yes.
So that today, you and I, beloved of God, are not supposed to receive any problems in our knees or in our legs.
Amen.
No problems.
Regardless how old we are.
Yes.
We can still be running. Listen, you can be 99 years old.
Yes.
And you will still be running.
Amen.
Amen? Can I get a raise of hands? Who's, who wants to be, when you're 99, you can still be running because your knees and your legs are unaffected by this curse. Somebody give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, now, I know you're excited. Pastor, I want this blessing. You know, even when I'm 99, to be able to run. Give me a verse. Okay, give them a verse. Genesis 18, verse 1 to 2, New English Translation Bible. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent during the hottest time of the day. Abraham looked out and saw three men standing across from him. When he saw them, he ran. Say, he ran.
He ran. Yes. Hallelujah.
It is written. This 99-year-old man, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground.
Hallelujah. Wow. Yes.
So don't tell me this can't happen, because it happened to Abraham.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we've just read from Galatians 3:13, so that the blessing of Abraham can come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Yo, this is your portion. This is the blessing of Abraham. When you're 99 years old, you will not be, you know, be wheelchair. Hallelujah. Amen. You will not be on a wheelchair. Alright? You'll be able, amen, to run. Hallelujah. You can run and not be weary. Hallelujah. You will walk and not faint. Somebody, give a clap offering to the Lord. Are you excited? Are you blessed? I told you, man, when you study the word deep, you get deep treasures
yes,
that you don't get anywhere else.
Amen.
Right? Yes. Are you blessed or are you happy? Okay. Hallelujah. So that's good. So who wants another revelation of what we've been redeemed from?
Yes. Amen.
Yes? Is this enough or? Okay, let's go home. Let's go home. No. More? Okay. One more. Okay. And then if we have time, maybe we'll look some other things. Ready? Okay, give him next. By the way, these are all chronological. It was verse 35. Now it's verse 36, right? Verse 36 to 37. Well, this is the curse of the law. It says, the Lord will exile you and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. There in exile, you will worship gods of wood and stone. You'll become an object of horror, ridicule and mockery among all the nations to which the Lord sends you. Now, this already happened in the history of Israel. This has already happened. Now, I thought to myself, Lord, what can we talk about here? I mean, it's already happened in history, right? It already happened in history. But then Apostle Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, and correcting in righteousness. And I thought to myself, there must be some profit in this verse. And I have to be honest with you, I cannot think of anything that I can take from this verse that will cause my heart to be burning with passion and love for the Lord. I just see, well, it already happens. You know, Israel was exiled to Babylon. There's nothing in this verse for me to gain, Lord. It already happened. It's history. It's the past. Right? And then the Holy Spirit says, I want you to study the Hebrew manuscript. Wow, really deep. So this is deeper than King James, right? Deeper than even Young's literal translation. Because now, the Holy Spirit took me to the original Hebrew writing. Right? When Moses wrote this. Right? Moses wrote it. So it's got to be in Hebrew, right? So I dive in deep. I study it word for word. Deuteronomy 28 verse 36, And I found something really, really amazing, beloved of God. It's like Indiana Jones. Anybody has watched? Anybody has watched Indiana Jones show? Dun, 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 dun. Right? It's like one secret passage, you know, one secret door leading to another secret door. It's really exciting, right? Now let me show you the original writing of Deuteronomy 28 verse 36 in Hebrew. Next, this is what it looks like. Deuteronomy 28 verse 36. Now if I'm just going to read this, it's very hard to understand what it's saying because the grammar is all kind of like jumbled up and it does not really make sense. So for those of you who love puzzles, if you like puzzles, you like, you know, like mysteries in the Bible, you know, this will be something that might be an item of interest for you. Remember, the Hebrews read from right to left. So it starts with the upper right hand corner there. See the word that says to lead away? Okay, that's how you read the Hebrew. Right to left. Okay, so it starts from there. So if I'm just going to translate it, Deuteronomy 28 verse 36, it will go like this. To lead away Yahweh, king who set up over unto a nation whom not known you fathers serve their gods other wood stone. Alright? It's like a puzzle. Now, as I was studying word by word, I noticed there are two words that were never translated in this manuscript. Do you see the yellow part there? Those are the two words that were never translated in your King James Version Bible. Now, God says all scripture is God-breathed. Do you think that, you know, the scribe put those two words by accident? Jesus said not a single iota, not a single dot in my word shall pass away, right? So there are two words there. They're not actually translated. And I thought, that's quite interesting what those two words are that are not translated in this verse. So I want to study more on these two words that are untranslated here. I want to learn the mystery of the scripture. Next. And these are the two words. When I zoom in on those two words, these are the two words. It's from Hebrews 8:53, the Strong's 853. Again, Hebrews read from right to left. Everybody see this one? That's Aleph. It's like our English letter A. A, B, C. In Hebrew, that's Aleph. That's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. You see the second one here? That's Taf. Say Aleph Taf.
Aleph Taf.
Now, that's how you say A, Z in Hebrew. A to Z. Aleph Taf. So this is the first letter in Hebrew, Aleph, and this is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph Taf. Now, do you remember when Apostle John, in the book of Revelation, he saw Jesus, and what did Jesus reveal himself to Apostle John as? I am the Alpha and the Omega, right? Now, Alpha and Omega is the Greek language. Alpha is like the letter A. Omega is the last letter for the Greek language. Now remember, he's talking to his fellow Jew. He's talking to a fellow Hebrew. He cannot likely saying, I'm the Alpha and Omega, although it's fine, right? And because the New Testament is in Greek. Likely when Jesus said to John, he would say, Yohanan, Ani, Ha Aleph, Taf. John, I am the beginning and the end. I'm the Aleph, A, and I'm the Taf, the Z. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. So, beloved of God, I want to let you know, this word that is untranslated in the Hebrew manuscript is a signature of Jesus Christ, who is the first and the last, who is the Alpha and the Omega, who is the Aleph and who is the Tav. Two words that's untranslated, right? Same Strong's 853 on the other one. Now, the way that we write Aleph Tav, there are many different versions to put that signature. This is Aleph Tav. This is also Aleph Tav. Look at the one here, the first one. You see the blue one here? Everybody put your hand like this. Okay, that's a Kaf. Say Kaf. That's the Hebrew letter there, Kaf. Is a palm of your hand. Looks like a palm of your hand, right? Like that, Kaf. Now let's look at the other version of how you write this Aleph Tav. The second one, you see the dark colored letter on that one? It looks like a nail, doesn't it? That's the pictograph in the Hebrew. It's a nail. So you put them together, a hand. Somebody seeing something that I have not seen before. A hand, a cuff, and then you see the nail over there. You can look it up online. Vav is a nail. What is the hidden message here in the scripture? That there is the signature of Aleph Tav in here with the palm and the nail. Beloved of God, this is the heart of your loving Heavenly Father. Even when you have committed the worst possible sin, that you have to be exiled, He already had Jesus in mind to redeem you from your sin. By Jesus someday, His hand, His palm will be nailed at the cross for your sin. I mean, this is the worst of the worst for Israel. That's it, Israel. Time for you to go. Time for you to exile. But even in the worst condition of Israel, at the rock bottom of Israel, you see the Aleph Tav in there. The palm and the nail. This is the heart of your loving Heavenly Father for you. You think that you are at the bottom of the barrel. You think you've done the worst thing. Even at your worst state, God had already provided Aleph Tav,
yes,
with the palm and the nail to say, someday my son will come and pay the penalty for your sin. And I can buy you back. I can redeem you back. It must have broken his heart when he had to exile Israel. He did not do it in anger. He did it because the law requires him to do that. Even in spite of all of that, you see the hidden message, even in that verse, in that manuscript, the hidden Aleph Tav, the palm of Jesus, and the nail that was going to pierce His hand someday to allow Israel to be able to return from the exile. He already had you in mind, the plan in mind for you, beloved of God. Amen? So God will never give up on you. Even if you are at the point you are so bad that you're supposed to be booted out, you know, to be exiled, okay? God already provided Aleph Tav for you. He already provided the cross, that nail-pierced hand for you. That is the loving heart of your loving Heavenly Father. Man, when I saw this, I was like, yes, Lord, thank you. I did not see anything in this verse, right? Because it seems like it's a history lesson already. Well, this already happened when Israel went into captivity to Babylon. But then God revealed this unto me. By the way, I did not learn this from commentaries or from Google or from anywhere. You're the first to see this. You're the first to see this. In the worst state, a nation that is supposed to be exiled, there is a hidden message that God says, I still love you. My son someday is going to pay for that sin. And I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to redeem you back from exile. And I'm going to do it righteously. Because my son, his palm, his calf is going to be nailed for all your sins. So beloved of God, there's no state in your life that is so bad that you cannot be redeemed back. It's too late. Jesus already died for all your sins. Amen? You are forever secure in the love of your loving Heavenly Father for you, beloved of God. Amen? Even when you're in your worst state, again, about to be exiled, God already hides Aleph Tav, His love for you. And He did it righteously. It's through the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Somebody paid for all your sins. And you don't have to be ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know I'm not all the Christian I'm supposed to be. I know I still messed up sometimes. I know sometimes my action is not always perfect. But Father, I'm not ashamed. Even in my worst state, You already provided the Aleph Tav for me, where the palm of Jesus' hands was already pierced at the cross. That nail already pierced His hand. Amen? Are you happy or are you excited, church? Yes? Both happy and excited. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good all the time. So, church, I hope you're blessed. I know I go a little bit deep. I go into the deep Hebrew manuscript and everything. And we learn, number one, right? You can have the faith of Abraham. So I'm going to kind of wrap the whole thing up, all right? God wants you to have the faith of Abraham, such that when you're 99 years old, you will not be wheeled around on a wheelchair, but instead, you'll be running like Abraham when he met that three angels, right? And I just showed you the scripture already. He ran, the Bible says, and he was around the age of 99 at that time. You know, beloved of God, I just want to let you know that God loves you, and He has already redeemed your legs and your knees from any problem that can cause it to be so bad that there's no healing for it. God says, I've redeemed you from that. You're parched to have faith in Jesus. This only works when you believe. Yes, Father, I believe what Pastor Henry shared. By faith, Lord, in Jesus, what He has done, that's mine. When I reach 99 years old, I can still be running like Abraham did. So have faith in Jesus that your knees and your legs will be strong even when you reach 99 years old or beyond. Amen? Hallelujah. And what was the number two? The number two, we've learned the love of Jesus. That even when you are at your worst state, you are about to be exiled, there is a hidden Aleph Tav in there where the hands of God, Jesus' cuff, was nailed at the cross for you. I believe this is a hidden, like a hidden love language in the letters of God that is addressed specifically to you. Amen, beloved of God? It's like a personal love letter. Because not many people know this, like I said. Even in the worst state of being exiled, God had a hidden message of Aleph Tav to let you know, I still love you. So let your faith and love be in the Lord Jesus Christ who loves you. Amen? Are you blessed? Let's stand up, church. Father, we just are so thankful for the revelation of faith and love in Christ Jesus that we've learned today. Because of the perfect sacrifice of what Jesus has done for us. Father, right now I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, that they would have the blessing of Abraham. Their legs and their knees will be strong. And if there are any problems in their legs, in their foot, in their knees, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus healed your legs. Jesus healed your knees. And He did it righteously because He took all that curse of the law that can affect your legs and your knees upon Himself at the cross. And by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. So I speak to everyone under the sound of my voice who may have leg issues, who may have problems walking, who may have problems in their knees. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to that knee. I speak to that leg. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole by grace through faith. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel because it's been paid, fully paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. That hand of Jesus had been nailed even when you are at your worst state. The state of being exiled, God had already hidden personal message of love to let you know Jesus was already nailed on His hands so that you can have the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ even in your worst state because He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for the message of faith and love which is in Christ Jesus today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.